I'm Rena Dipdianabu, aka Mommy Imperfect, and you're listening to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect, the podcast that celebrates and explores womanhood and motherhood. So it's a well-known fact that women are some of the most badass, the best, multi-talented, multitaskers around. And in this episode, I'm joined by a woman who I met around 18 years ago at work when we were both working for a well-known broadcasting corporation. And I was young and clueless. She was young and obviously had a plan. So now she is balancing a successful career in law, teaches, and is an author. And her crime debut novel, The Jigsaw Man, debuts in February. It's Nadine Matheson. So welcome to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect, Nadine.
Rena! Oh my God.
How are you?
I am good. Oh my God. I feel a bit emotional now. It's been so long.
I know. It's mad.
It is so crazy. How do you look so well? It's so good to see you.
So do you.
I can't believe you said you met me when I had a plan. I don't know if it was
but you had a plan. Okay, so because when I met you, I was about 23 or 24 or something, and then you must have been not much older. But you know, I knew that you were just there for a bit and you wanted to go and do law, but I didn't know about the writing. Did you know about the writing then?
I knew about the writing because I always wrote, but it was just little things. Like I stopped and started like loads of projects, and I think the first thing I wrote was when I was 9 and I watched The Labyrinth, and then I decided to write my own version of The Labyrinth, so that was probably just fan fiction, and I said I'm sure that's still in the loft somewhere. But I've always read and I've always written bits and pieces. But when we met at the well-known broadcasting company, when we met there, I can't believe it was 18 years ago, that's when I started writing properly. But I used to do it in my lunch breaks. I'd sit there with my headphones on and I'd write a couple of chapters. And then when I left, I went to work for a law firm. But you said everyone knew I wanted to do law. And that was my plan to be a solicitor. So I was on that plan. So the writing was just like a little side piece I was doing. And then I qualified as a solicitor. I still carried on writing. So I qualified in 2006, specialised in criminal law. I still wrote and I actually finished the book. It took me ages, but I finished the first book I started writing when we first met. I sent that off to, I had no business sending it off to agents because it wasn't ready. But I think that was part of the process. And I sent it off to agents. It came back. They said thanks, but no thanks. I thought, oh, well. Leave it at that. But I still just carried on with work because you have to eat. So I carried on with work and just carried on writing on the side. So yeah, I suppose I had a plan, but the writing was just, it wasn't a concrete part of that plan.
But it's funny that, so you were like a secret writer and then I was also a secret writer, because at that time I was writing like little poems and things like that. And when I was younger, I used to like start a new novel every week, but then I never finished them. So then in 2004, I started writing a play with somebody else. And then that play we put on at a theatre and it sold out in Birmingham. And then we kind of took it on a tour. So then I started writing like plays and stuff from then as well. So it's just funny that kind of we were both secretly writing things in our lunch breaks.
We were both sitting there in that same massive open plan office writing our stuff. We didn't know.
No, I know. But I read your first book recently, as I told you, Sisters, which you self-published. So, you know, for those who don't know, it's a family saga, isn't it? About four sisters who were in a girl group together. Well, three of them were, and then they kind of drifted apart for various reasons, which you go into in the book. So what was the inspiration for that book? And is that the one that you sent off to publishers?
No, that wasn't the one I sent off to publishers. The one I sent off to publishers was called Tell Me Something Good. And it was about three women in their late 20s going through their love journeys and things like that. And that's the one I sent off to publishers. That's the one they said, thanks but no thanks. But I said, looking back, that book was not ready to go anywhere. But the sisters, the random inspiration about the sisters, I was watching Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
I watched really bad TV, But I always say that's the reason why I watch bad TV is because work is so serious in criminal law that I need bad TV.
I've started to watch bad TV this year because of the reason the world is mad, so I need to get away.
Yeah, the world is mad. So you need something madder to like engage in. So I was watching one episode of The Real Housewives and I realised one of these women in there, she had no money, but it was this whole pretense, this whole facade she put forward of, I have everything, you know, I've got the house, I've got the relationships. But reality was, I'm like, you haven't got any money. And that just set off a little spark in my head for one of the characters. And then at the same time, I think it's just a funny coincidence, like my life. At that same time, I'd taken redundancy from work. So I was now self-employed. Mm-hmm. So I had more time on my hands. And then at that same month, it was NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of November, so you have to write 50,000 words of a novel in 30 days. So I thought, okay, I'll take up the challenge. And so it was doing that led to the start of The Sisters. So I completed the challenge and I had 50,000 words of The Sisters. I don't know where the girl band came from idea, but that was the story. And then I finished it and I thought, well, I've got to do something with it. So I worked on it some more. And then also, like I said, life is funny sometimes. At the same time, a friend of mine who was a barrister, he'd left the law to become a full-time writer. So we were talking about me contributing to an anthology, which was a sci-fi anthology. So I write in so many different genres. So I was working on that and he was self-publishing it. So I thought, okay, I'll self-publish the book as well. And so you have to do your research. So I did all my research into self-publishing. I found an editor who edited the book for me. And I think it must have taken, I'm not sure, maybe best part of a year, probably working on it. And then I think it was February 2015, I published it. And I think out of everything, that's like, that's one of my greatest achievements. That's something I did.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And I put the work in. So, yeah.
What does that involve, self-publishing? Because, you know, I have no idea.
Everything. And because I'm now traditionally published now with The Jigsaw Man, it's you literally with self-publishing, you do everything. So obviously you write the book. You then have to find an editor to edit your book, you know, so go for it, tell you what works, what doesn't work. You then have to find a proofreader to find. So this is all expense. I mean, you can do it cheaply. You can find people who do it online for like a fiver if you ask them, but you've got to find someone to proofread your book, because I always say after a while, when you're working on something for so long, you become blind to the words. You can't see them. So you find a proofreader. Then you've got to find a cover designer to design your book cover. I'm not designing like book covers because I can draw a bit, but I'm rubbish. So you've got to find a cover designer. And again, you can do that cheaply or you can put the money in. So I found one. And what else did I have to do? Oh, then you've got to find someone to format the book. So it can be published in print and then have it as an ebook. So you can do all these things yourself, but I think if you want to make sure it's done properly, because you are putting a product out, that product is representative of you, it's your brand, but you have to put the investment in. So you do all of that stuff and that is exhausting. And then when you're done and you have a book, you then have to promote it. And that's just an extra, some of us are not born promoters. Some of us don't sell ourselves well. So you do everything. And in comparison to now I'm like traditionally published with HQ, who are an imprint of HarperCollins, all I have to do is write the book. And that is so much nicer because they just take everything off your hands. You're still involved in book cover design and the publicity process, but it's just beautiful because they just do everything. But with self-publishing, everything you earn comes back to you. I mean, Amazon will take a little royalty, but yeah.
Was it expensive though to do all of that? Because it sounds like it's expensive. Because you said you got people who it was their actual job to do these things, like not your cousin who just graduated from college, you know, the other day. Here you go, design this.
Listen, no. If one of my cousins could have done it, I would have said to them, do it. I'd like to do the format. If I knew they had that skill, like my brother Gavin, who lives in Japan, he does video production, so he made the trailer for me because that's his skill set, so that was fine. But I said you can get it done cheaply. You can find, there are people online who will, I said, they'll design a book cover for you for Fiverr, but it's what it's the quality that you're looking for. So I mean, with the book cover, there's this website called 99 Designs, and you can set up design contests for anything. And so with the last book cover, actually both of them, I did it through that. So I think it cost me like 150 quid to get the book cover design. So that wasn't expensive. The editing is expensive, because I mean, different editors have different price plans, but I mean, that you can get that done as cheaply as I say cheap, for like 750 quid. And there's other editors, you end up maybe paying 2 or 3 grand. I didn't pay that much because I didn't have two, three grand to give them. So I think I ended up paying maybe 950 to get my book edited. But I wanted it done well, because the thing about self-publishing is that for some reason, readers seem to hold you to a higher standard, as opposed to if you were traditionally published. So they're the first ones to come back to you and say, oh, well, you've made a mistake here. There's an error there. This person's eyes change colour halfway through the book. Because these are things you don't see. So if you want it, if you don't want those, and they, listen, Amazon reviewers are harsh. They will come back to you with some nonsense. I mean, I'm half expecting someone, when they review The Jigsaw Man, to complain that they didn't get an actual jigsaw puzzle, because they're just ridiculous. Not all of them, but some of them.
We expected this with a book of this name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We expected a jigsaw puzzle, but there was not one.
But I think it's amazing that you did that, like, because sometimes you've got to invest in your passions, you know. Did that help you to get this deal, or was it kind of just a completely unrelated thing, like that this book, The Jigsaw Man, you got published on the merit of this story, or did that help in any way?
No, it was completely unrelated, because I published The Sisters in 2015, and The Jigsaw Man, I said, life is just funny sometimes. I hadn't planned to go back to university and study anything, because I said, I took redundancy, so I became self-employed. So I was self-employed as a solicitor, and I also freelance at BPP Law School. So I teach law, and around, I think it was 2016, I had an operation because I have endometriosis. So I suffer from that. So I had two operations in the space of 6 months. So when I was recovering from the second operation, and this is just what happens with me. I jump into things without thinking. So I was recovering at home. I was on Twitter, because I love Twitter. So I was on Twitter, and I saw a tweet from City University, and it was a competition, and it was, send us 5,000 words of a crime novel, and you'll win £2,000. And you'd think, me being a lawyer, I would read the small print. No, I didn't read the small print. I thought it was £2,000 cash. Then I read the small print later and realised it was £2,000 bursary of the price of a creative writing master's.
In
crime and thriller writing. So I remember talking to my brother, and I was like, I'm not doing this, I'm not going, you know, I teach, so why am I going back to be a student and do homework? And then I was talking to my brother, and he basically made a bet with me, because I entered the competition. So he goes, if you win the competition, do the course, if you don't win, well, don't do it. And then about 2 months later, I got the email, oh, you've won the competition. So that's how I ended up on the course. And as part of the course, you had to write a complete novel. So I wrote the novel, which was The Jigsaw Man. But at the time, I'm one of these people, I read it and I thought it was rubbish. I thought, no one's going to be interested in this. I'm just doing it to complete the course. And then as part of the course, they sent all the students extracts out in an anthology. They sent it out to agents. And then when they sent the anthology out in November 2018, I had, I think it was 10 agents that asked for the full manuscript to read.
Okay, and that's good, yeah.
Yeah, it got very mad. And then one of my tutors, he suggested another couple of agents who wasn't on the list, who I should send the book to. So I sent it to them. That was December 2018. But I'm still thinking nothing's going to happen of it. So I'm it's Christmas. I'm sitting at home in my pajamas watching Indiana Jones for like the 50th time, eating my quality streets, thinking no one's going to bother with this book. They're going to say thanks, but no thanks. And then it wasn't even the new year. I got emails from 3 of the agents who'd finished reading the book saying, we want to meet you. So I met them in the new year. And then I signed, and all 3 of them at that time wanted to sign me. And then I picked my agent, and I signed with my agent on my birthday. on the 29th of January.
That's so nice.
And so the book, yeah, so the Jigsaw Man had nothing to do with the sister. Obviously, it gave me the basics. I knew I could write a book. Mm-hmm. That was the most important thing. I knew I could sit there and write a book. And it's odd. I don't have patience for many things, but for some reason, I can sit there and write. So I knew I had that skill set. So it gave me that. But I didn't expect what happened with the Jigsaw Man to happen.
I think it's amazing, and you know, I'm looking forward to reading it, because, and I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that later, but the whole thing of writing a book, like, because like I said, you know, I write scripts and I've written like short stories and stuff, like short films and things, but then a novel, that scares me. It's like, oh my god, a novel is like, it's intricate, and you know, there's a lot of words and there's a plot, there's a characters, and it's like a lot of description and stuff.
Yeah,
and I don't, it kind of scares me. How difficult is it to sit there, and did you kind of have bits where you were stuck and left it alone a bit? What's the process of it?
Oh yeah, it's, the thing is, everyone's, I mean, I mentor I say new writers as well, so I always say to them, everyone's process is different. I'm a planner. And I think I probably am a planner in like most aspects of my life. So when it comes to writing, I need a plan. It's not a detailed plan. I call them safety nets. And I say the same thing to my law students as well when I teach them advocacy and about speech writing. You just have it as a safety net, your plan. You don't have to stick to it rigidly. So you have the planners, and then you have writers who just, we call them the pantsers. They just write. They ain't got any clue where they're going. They just sit there and they write. But for me, I think it's strange, because either it starts, I always have an idea. I think very cinematically. So it starts with a scene. So with the Jigsaw Man, I'll say it just literally started with body parts being found on the river, and I just thought, I had that scene because I live by the river and I've grown up by the river. So, you know, that was not unusual for me. So that's how I start. And then you just have to just sit. It sounds really rubbish to answer, but you just have to sit there and write, and don't worry about where you think you're going to end up, if that makes any sense. Just, if you've got the story, you've got the characters, you find it just grows as you continue to write. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some days I sat in front of my computer screen, and if I wrote 250 words, then that was a good day. I always said I had one of my characters just sitting at a kitchen table for like a week because I didn't know what to do with her. But that just happened. It's not a block. It's just, you're just trying to work out where the story goes next. But I find that the writing process is different for, if I'm writing like drama, contemporary fiction, like the sisters, in comparison to if I'm writing crime. With crime, I feel like I have to be spot on with the plotting and the details. Where with the sisters, because it was just a drama, to me it was just life. You can kind of write life. It's no different to me to, like, if you journal, if you write diary entries, it was no different to documenting life. So I found the sisters a much an easier process in terms of writing in comparison to the Jigsaw Man. But I had to tell my mum's got four sisters on my grandmother's side. So every time, so there's five of them. And I had to keep saying to her, like, it's not about you. Because she's like, it's about me. I'm like, no, mum, it's not about you. I'm like, were you in a girl band?
At the end, it was like, no, mum, this is not about you. I read your little thing at the end. This isn't about you, mum.
I had to put it in there just like to cement it.
Because I did think, oh, because I know you have brothers. I was like, oh, Nadine's got brothers. Like, and, you know, she's written about these relationships between sisters. And I have two sisters, so that's very familiar to me, those relationships. I was like, oh, I wonder if there's like, I did think if your mum had sisters and where you kind of.
Yeah, she's got, there's loads of them. So there's loads of them. So my mum's got sisters. But I'm like, it's just, but then, you know, someone's like my best friend. So I don't have sisters, but my best friends feel like my sisters. So you know about that female relationship and the ups and downs of it. So I should be able to write about it, which I think I did.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So how long did it take you to actually finish the novel, like the first time with sisters and then the Jigsaw Man? Is it a similar kind of time?
The sisters, because I wrote it as part of that NaNoWriMo challenge, so I had to write 50,000 words in, I said that was in 30 days. So That is hard though, because you're literally forcing yourself to sit down. I mean, I had a little system. I had to write like a minimum, maybe up to 2,000 words a day. So I was able to write the first draft in 30 days, but it probably took me, I think, until maybe 6 months maybe to finish the first draft. And I would say the same, actually it was the same for the Jigsaw Man. So I reckon I can do a draft in 6 months. I can probably do it quicker than that if I didn't have all the other stuff to do, like going to work.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. Like, how do you balance that, your career? And because, like, do you still practice law or do you just do teaching? Are you doing both of them?
I've taken a break of practicing law, so I'm not practicing.
Okay, so you're doing your teaching. So how are you balancing that with the writing?
At the time, now it's a bit easier because I just have to focus on the teaching. And the problem with, then, I say the problem with the whole lockdown thing, a lot of my, because I teach courses as well to trainee solicitors. So a lot of all my courses this year, they just got cancelled or just moved to 2021. So I had more space to write. But funny enough, being in lockdown was not conducive to writing. Like, it affected me creatively because I didn't have no flexibility in being able to just pick up and like jump on a plane and go and see my parents if I just needed a break from everything. So it took me a while to get back into writing when we were in lockdown. But there was a time before the book deal and all that stuff happened. So I was working on the book. And I remember there was 1 week. It was absolutely crazy. And I don't know how I did it. I was working on the book. I was going to court every day. I was teaching classes in the evening as well. So I'm physically leaving court at 4 o'clock if I'm lucky, driving to Holborn and teaching an evening class till 8. I was then marking exam papers, so I was doing all that. So teaching court and doing the work, writing the book and marking exam papers, and I had all this other stuff, personal stuff going on. And I don't know how I did it because I had deadlines to meet. But you just, for me, I work well with deadlines. So if I know I have something to do, there's a date for me to do it, I will make sure I do it. But mentally, that was exhausting. And I don't know how I got through it, but you do. I don't have children. So I have space. So it's the evenings and the weekends. But yeah, I'd rather be sleeping, watching Netflix. Not working, but I had to make use of all that extra time, the spare time I could find. But I said now it's easier because I'm not practicing at the moment, so I've got extra space. Because I enjoy being in court, and I do miss being in court.
I do miss
cross examining witnesses, but I don't miss the running up and down to all over the country to go to court. And no, I don't miss that. So I've got that space back to write.
So, like, you know, you were practicing law and you're still very much in the world of law. Like, did that help you with this, with the Jigsaw Man, with the plot? And
yeah, definitely. Because obviously I practice crime. And so because I practice crime, and I've always liked crime fiction, so obviously that helped in terms of, I suppose, in terms of authenticity. But there's some things I don't know because I defend. So I've never prosecuted in my life, and I only know about a police investigation perform a certain point, and that is once it gets to me and my client's been charged with, whether they've been charged with murder or fraud or whatever. So I had to kind of flip my brain around to think like a prosecutor when I was writing The Jigsaw Man. And luckily I got a friend of mine who I went to school with, who's a police officer. So I'd bug her. So I was like, Manda, cool. What would happen if this happened? So I bugged her a bit. But definitely having that experience of law. So I've been working in book crime for, I've been qualified for 15 years, I think coming up to 16. So I do have all that experience. So that all helped, thankfully. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done.
So, and this novel, so just tell me a little bit about it, because it seems really different from your first book. Tell me a little bit about it, with obviously without giving too much away.
It's so different. So it's a crime fiction novel. It's called The Jigsaw Man. And the main protagonist is Detective Inspector Angelica Henley, who is a black woman. And people ask me why I chose to write about a black woman. I'm like, well, what else? I'm black. What else am I going to write about? Exactly. So she's a detective inspector, like most detectives in crime novels. She's got her issues, she's got her trauma, but it's set in Deptford, so the area where I grew up, so it's set in South East London. Mm-hmm. And it basically starts when body parts are found on the banks of the River Thames, and she's sent along to investigate it. And then she realises that the murders matches the MO of a serial killer called Olivier, who's also known as a Jigsaw killer, but he's in prison. So she realises she has a copycat on her hand. She then has to go to the prison to speak to Olivier to kind of ask for his help reluctantly. And Olivier, he doesn't take too kindly to being asked for help. And he doesn't take too kindly to knowing there's a copycat out there. So he escapes. So it's just a question of who catches the copycat killer first. Is it going to be Henley, or is it going to be Peter Olivier, the Jigsaw killer? So that is what it's all about. But I love writing about it because it's set in my area, so I get to see South East London.
Do you know what? That sounds like super exciting and very like dark. Like, I think I would be traumatized. Will I be traumatized if I read it?
Well, this is the thing. I wrote it and I did not think it was gruesome. I didn't think it was dark. As I said to you, when I first wrote it, I thought it was a bit rubbish. I thought, well, no one's going to read this. But obviously, the agents did, the publishers did. So I didn't think it was gruesome, but the reviews have started coming in because the publishers have been sending out the advanced copies to reviewers and bloggers. And so the reviews are coming in and it's coming back as dark and twisty and gruesome, and which is good. And one one reviewer on Twitter said it gave her nightmares. And I was like, I didn't think that was going to happen because I didn't think the scenes I wrote were gruesome. But apparently.
Will I read it and go, it is. And I may read it and think, oh my God, what is wrong with Nadine? Like, why has she done this?
Someone said that to me on Twitter. They were like, this is so dark and it's so gruesome and this and that. But, and she'd met me before and she goes, yeah, you're not like that. I said, no, I'm nothing like that. Listen, I watch nonsense TV. I read comics. I'm such a geek in certain aspects. I laugh at nonsense. You know, give me something stupid to laugh at and I'd laugh at it. I'm not a dark and twisted person, but for some reason, I feel like I need to have like a disclaimer on my website. I am not a dark and twisted person. I'm actually a very nice, I'm very funny person. Thank you. But I'm able to go there.
Go to that place. Darkness.
Yeah, but I think as well, it's also, I mean, work. You know, I've worked in criminal law I've only worked in criminal law for nearly 20 years. And I've met all sorts of people. I've met people worse than I think I could possibly represent in terms of personality. I mean, representing in my writing. You know, I've met the worst of people, done the worst of things. And I think to be a criminal solicitor, you have to be a certain mindset. You have to be able to compartmentalize, because I wouldn't have lasted 2 months as a solicitor doing criminal law if I wasn't able to compartmentalize. I've worked on some disgusting people in terms of clients. So yeah, I mean, I've got to put some of that to some use. So obviously it goes into my book, but I am nice, I promise you.
So you know, like compartmentalizing things and doing it that way so you don't kind of get freaked out yourself, like did you do that with a book as well? Because it sounds like something that, you know, when you get into writing, you kind of you're in that moment, aren't you? So writing something that was really serious with loads of twists and turns about people who were not very nice, how did you switch off on that? Was it trash TV again?
Trash TV. I watched a lot of trash TV. I watch other interesting highbrow stuff. I mean, if you know me, you see my face, but I love politics. I mean, I did American studies in history and I've got a master's in international relations. I love politics. So, you know, there are different sides to me, but I think I'm just naturally one of those people who can compartmentalize. So it's not hard for me to, when I move away from where I'm sitting now, which is where I work, it's not hard for me to move away from that and just cut off from it. And it's the same thing as like being a criminal solicitor. Once I left the office, once I walked out of courtroom, I can switch off. I couldn't take it home with me, but I'm able, for some reason, I'm able to do that, just put things in boxes and just keep on going. But the weird thing is, like, I promise you, you come to my house and you'll probably find a random post-it note and it will have something on it like, right, I need to kill off Smith. How am I going to do it? And literally, and then sometimes, this is when it does slip in. Like, I could be washing up. And I think I was actually washing up. And I was like, right, I need to find a way to kill this character called Juliana. I was like, what am I going to do? I need to find a way to do that. So I have little moments that just pop into my head. But I think that's just, I think if you're creative, the matter
that's how you get the ideas, right, isn't it?
You do music, you get the ideas. I get ideas just from, I'm like sitting in traffic and you're watching people along the road. And I'm like, oh. It's always the what ifs. I think whether you're a writer, music, anything creative, it's the, you're thinking about the what ifs and then you work on the what ifs.
But I love that though, like, because inspiration's all around you, isn't it? Because I don't understand how people say, oh my god, I'm so bored, you know, I've got nothing to do. It's like, hello, look around you, you can, this is an inspiration for something, look at, around you.
It goes back to, like, god, it's moments like this when you realize your parents were right. Like when you were younger and you'd say you were bored and your mum and dad would be like, no, you can find something to do. And it's true, you can find something to do and there is inspiration all around you. You just have to find something that speaks to you. Like I'll say to my students, you don't even necessarily need to know, for example, what area of law you want to go into, but if you're stuck, the first thing to ask yourself is, and it doesn't matter if it's law or whatever it is, ask yourself, what is it that interests you, what is it that you like, and start from there. I mean, I say the same thing to my goddaughters and my niece. I'm like, say, just work from that basis. What sparks joy in me? What do I enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. And then even if you were to say to me, you know, you enjoy doing makeup, well, fine, if makeup is your thing, how can you make that? How can you progress that into another area of your life? How could you make that into some form of career, whether it's the business side of it or whether it is the creative side of it? You just need to start from that place and move from there. But yeah, you can find inspiration if you look for it.
And it's like the whole being bored thing. Like I say to my kids, only boring people get bored. That is what I say to them. And I'm like, only boring people get bored, kids. And you're not boring, so I'm sure you'll find something to do. That's my life.
You can find something, even if you just paint. I mean, I've gone through all sorts of things. I fancy painting. So I got some paint equipment, started painting, then realised, you know, I don't have the patience to paint. This is why it's strange for me. I can sit there and do a jigsaw puzzle for hours. I can sit and write a book for hours. I am not sitting there with a paintbrush because after 15 minutes, I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. Yeah. So my brother does video productions and I can't sit at a computer screen and create trailers and the things that he does. So everyone's got, they've got their own unique thing. They just, yeah.
And are you working on something else now?
I wish it was top secret. I am knee deep in book two because I've got a deadline in a couple of weeks. And book two is painful. It's like the musicians call it second album syndrome. And technically it's not book two because I've written The Sisters. I've done The Jigsaw Man. So this is technically book three, but it's book two in the series of The Jigsaw Man because Henley's going to be part of a series. And it's just the amount of times I've asked myself, like, how did I write the first book? Like, how did I sit down and write a book? But I think it's different this time because I have got the book deal. So it feels probably like there's a bit more pressure on me in that respect because I got the deal. The book's going to be, you know, it's not just going to be out there in the UK. It's already out in Germany. It's going to be out in the States. And my dad reminded me yesterday, it's going to be out in Russia. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It's going to be in Russia. So I'm working on book two. And then I've got a hand out in before Christmas. And then as soon as that's done, I have to start working on book three. And then I've got some short stories I have to write for another anthology. And yeah, so it doesn't stop. But I enjoy, and I've got other things. I've got other ideas for other book projects that I want to start. So yeah, the process doesn't stop, but it's definitely stopping at Christmas. I'll be drinking and eating sweets.
You deserve it, love.
A And reading. I haven't read, like, I need to read, like, because I haven't had a chance to read.
Yeah.
Like, consistently. Yeah. And be with your family and your friends. I've missed them in this lockdown.
Yeah, I know. So, just lastly, tell me and everybody who's listening about where they can buy your book, where they can pre-order it, when exactly it's coming out, and where they can find out more about you.
Okay, so you can find out more about me on my website. I have a website, www.nadinemathison.com. I'm also on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter. So, and that's just my, is it your Twitter handle? That's what they call it. It's Nadine Matheson. I'm on Instagram. I'm everywhere. I'm on Instagram as Queen Nads. And I'm also on Facebook. So I think it's Nadine Matheson Books on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I'm all on social media. And all the links are on my webpage. Mm-hmm. And then the Jigsaw Man comes out on the 18th of February, 2021. So it's not long. And you can get it on, you can pre-order it now. So it's on Amazon, Waterstones. I can't believe it's going to be in WH Smith. That just makes me laugh. Because that was the place where you went to when you were kids to get your books. So, yeah. So you can go online. So Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smith, Boyles is available. And I think if you go to Goldsboro Books online, there'll be signed copies. You can pre-order signed copies from them. So it's going to be everywhere.
It's very exciting. It's really exciting, and I am proud of you, Nadine. And it's like, I'm like, oh my god, we met all that time ago, and look at what you've achieved, and it's good. And I think it sounds like it's just the beginning, because I don't know, like, but it's when you start talking about, I think, in scenes and then telling me the plot, I'm thinking,
it's
like,
It has been optioned for TV. So
it's so exciting.
Yeah, it was optioned last July, August, I think it was optioned. So, but TV options are strange because, you know, someone says, okay, you basically give them you don't give it to them, you sell them the rights to your book for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it may not be made into a series, but hopefully, cross fingers, it will be, because I think it'll be good. It'd be so good to see Henley on TV. I don't mind being on telly.
Do you know what? And I love the fact that the main character is a black woman, because it's like, it would be so weird for you to try really hard to be like, no, I must write about a white person. It's like, why would you do that? And representation is like, it's so important.
It's so important. And the thing as well, you write what you know. So it just would have been, strange. And I didn't even think about it, because you write what you know. So my character, she was always going to be a black woman. That's what she is. And I can't remember, I've been interviewed somewhere, and they're asking me about if there's many black women in the police force. The thing is that, I mean, I've worked in criminal law, so there are black, I've met black female detectives, but you don't hear their story.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing about representation is so important to see yourself represented in every way possible. So whether it's actually as a fictional character, or whether it is when you pick up the book and you turn it over and you see there's a black woman or a black man or an Asian man or an Asian woman on the back cover, you need to see yourself represented in some shape or form. And also, the thing for me, okay, I know I write crime fiction. We do write everything. I said black women, black, Asian, whatever, we write everything. Not everything has to be seeped in trauma.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, everyone's experience is different, but we can write comedy, we can write sci-fi, we can write romance, you write your plays, you do your podcasts, and we are everywhere. So we should be able to see ourselves everywhere, and I think that's important also. So yeah, but now Henley's a badass, sorry, that's my character. And she's not me. She definitely ain't me, because I'm not as crazy. She's got some issues. I do not. I mean, I've got issues, but not those issues.
I look forward to reading about her. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Nadine. It's been so nice
talking to you again.
And thank you to everyone for listening. And I'm going to be back next week for my final show for 2020. And it's going to be a special one. So don't miss it. Until then, take care. Bye.